Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Jockey with the herb of the field for the healing of the nation. Fruit and vegetable for medication. So much food, so much variation. Sustenance for all generation. It's there in abundance. Vitamins and minerals and whole heap of nutrients. Anti-inflammatory and antioxidants. Give your temple a chance, cause health is wealth, ital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Vegan, we're vegan. Plant BS, we say. Long time Rastafari. Say I dey so he dey. Ital, we ital. Nah go no way. And we root and we fruit and we vegetable all the way. Cause health is wealth. Ital is vital.
And good afternoon, good afternoon. Health is wealth. And welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here today with my trusty producer, who I don't know what I would do without, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. Thank you so much. We got an exciting topic today.
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited. You know, unfortunately, many of the things that make up what we call lifestyle occurs without much thought. Mm-hmm. So we want today to spend a few minutes looking at what's called modifiable risk factors for chronic disease. Key modifiables. What does modifiable mean, Frank?
It means you can change it. You can change
it. Something about it?
Yeah, you can do something about it. For sure.
You can do something about it. So the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and a number of other organizations have listed several things that are modifiable risk factors, including poor nutrition, lack of exercise, excessive alcohol use, tobacco, obesity, and hypertension. And we'll try to talk about some of those today. I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of them, Brother Frank, because there's so much information out there.
Yes, sir.
You know, For many years, you know, tobacco use was the leading cause of preventable death and disease in our country. It's amazing. Even though we have cut way back on cigarette smoking, it's still lung cancer is still the number one cause of cancer death in this country, you know. But cigarettes also is linked to heart disease, to strokes, to COPD. There have been studies to show that in addition to lung cancer, cigarette smoking is associated with cancer of the mouth, the larynx, the esophagus, the stomach, the liver, the prostate, and it even encourages breast cancer. Wow. All right. So that them cigarettes does a lot of damage. Now, you know, what if you don't smoke, but you're around somebody in an environment of smoke? They call it secondary smoke. Well, studies show that secondary smoke increases the risk of both lung cancer and cervical cancer by some 40%. 40%. I have difficulty getting the connection, Brother Frank.
Man.
Between the 2 miles, you know. But it's very, very significant, you know. So if you want to prevent these deaths, the best strategy for cigarette smoking is to quit completely. All right.
Yes.
No cutting back. You got to quit completely, because what has been shown is that your body will adjust and still produce disease. All right. So, you know, you can actually set a date that you're going to start, that you're going to stop. All right. And mark it on your calendar and fix that date. You can use support, groups with different faith-based organizations. When I used to have my office over at Haley Hospital, I used to run or assist with a number of, stop smoking programs, and they actually work. You can also, their U.S. national, quit lines that's available, you know. But one of the key things is to identify the triggers. You know, what is it that sort of stimulates you to smoke? You know, whether it's situational, whether it's emotional, you know, you need to look at it. Is it drinking coffee, alcohol? Is it stress? Whatever it is, but plan an alternative activity so that you can quit. Avoid secondhand smoke. Don't be around folk who are smoking, you know, whether it's in your house, in your car, you know, make it a smoke-free environment. You know, there are certain medications that are useful to stop smoking. But I suggest that, and I've seen that it can be done without any medications. And so, you know, you just have to make up your mind and get in the right kind of program that can help you. Poor nutrition. There have been some recent studies to show that poor nutrition has actually overtaken cigarette smoking as being the number one risk factor for disease, chronic disease, and death in this country. All right. So if you eat a diet high in saturated fat and sodium salt and added sugar, or if you eat a diet low in fruits, fresh fruits, vegetables, whole grains, seeds, nuts. This kind of diet will contribute to some of the leading offenders, obesity, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease. And so we need to really make sure that we eat a good diet. Now, it's a very interesting study that I saw, Brother Frank, where it actually combined two of these risk factors. You know, it showed if you do a few days of walking and eating whole plant-based healthy foods, all right, that you will increase you'll lower your IGF-1. Now, why is that important? Because IGF-1 high levels have been associated with a number of cancers.
Yes.
And so just by walking a few days and eating, you're able to do this. Now, they wanted to know, is it just, you know, eating some vegetables along with your hot dogs and fried chicken? The answer is no. They found that only the vegans had a significantly lower level of IGF-1. And so it's very important that you go all the way. You don't skip. You learn how to get off of all of the animal fat and protein. But there's also, in addition to this diet lowering the IGF-1, there's something called IGF-1 binding capacity. And what that means is that there's the body produces this substance that actually helps to, in addition to the vegan diet, it brings down the IGF-1 level even lower. And so, this vegan diet increases the binding capacity while it also brings down the IGF-1. And so you're getting hit with the right and the left, you know. So this IGF-1 insulin growth factor 1 is excellent. It's excellent. Now, Brother Frank, there's another protein that is been shown to significantly enhance longevity and help you live a long time, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually characterized as a systemic enhancer of longevity, all right? It can be boosted through prolonged fasting, all right? IGF-1, matter of fact, I first found out about IGF-1 because this man who had lymphoma went on a water fast, and his lymphoma went into remission, you know, spontaneous remission. Well, fasting also will boost the FGF21. The FGF21. But you don't have to just fast. You can eat more good carbs,
mm-hmm.
and eat less protein, and that will also boost the FGF21. The carbs like whole grains, beans, because they are high in fiber, they've been shown to increase the FGF21.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in the small intestines, this fiber leads to production of what? Prebiotics.
Okay.
Prebiotics. And then when these prebiotics is carried down, the fiber is carried on down into the colon, the prebiotics become probiotics, and, mm-hmm. and they interact with the gut microbiome, the bacteria in the gut, and they produce short chain fatty acids like butyrate, and this is very important because butyrate has been shown to independently boost the FGF21,
mm-hmm.
all right? And so, you know, the circulating FGF21 is increased dramatically when you eat lower proteins. I think especially animal proteins. And it's interesting, the average Americans eat between, average American male eats between 100 and 112 grams of protein a day. All right. Mm-hmm. And where it's been shown that the recommended daily allowance of protein for most men is about 56.
Wow.
So they're eating twice as much. But they've shown in studies that if you decrease your protein from 112 down to about 64, all right, mm-hmm. which is less than half, you will actually double the levels of your FGF21. Mm-hmm. And so you can significantly improve your longevity by eating
less protein.
Now, it's interesting, Brother Frank, because people are always asking me, how can I get more protein?
Yes.
In my diet. Now, and why are they asking me that question, Frank?
Because they've been propagandized.
They've been propagandized. They've been told. And who's telling them that?
Everybody.
The main one that's telling is the one that's selling the animal and dairy protein.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Trying to kill people.
You got to have all this protein. And what they're not telling them, if you eat all this protein, it's going to kill you.
That's on purpose, Doc.
Is that the purpose? But the interesting thing is as you decrease this protein and increase this FGF21, it not only helps to increase your longevity, it decreases your body fat. Mm. All right. So it's decreasing diabetes, it's decreasing heart disease, it's decreasing diabetes, it's making you look better, making you last longer. All right. And so nutrition is a very, very important thing. And it improves your immune system overall.
Mm-hmm.
It decreases inflammation. It lowers cholesterol. It lowers blood sugar. And so we need to definitely eat healthily. All right? Definitely need to eat in a healthy way. So we're talking about risk factors that are modifiable, that, as Frank said, that you can change, that will increase your life expectancy. If you have a question or comment, feel free to call us at 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Another very, very important risk factor that's modifiable is physical activity.
Yes.
And it's been shown that if you're inactive, the lack of exercise is a significant risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of exercise increases obesity, increases type 2 diabetes, increases heart disease. It even increases certain cancers. So you're sitting on the couch.
Getting cancer.
Watching the ignorant box and getting cancer. All right. Whereas if you exercise on a regular basis, it's gonna help to maintain your help you lose weight or maintain the low weight that you have. It's gonna lower your blood pressure. It's gonna lower your blood sugar. It's gonna decrease your stress.
Mm.
All right. And I tell my patients all the time that I've never seen anybody reverse kidney failure without walking. All right. I've never seen anybody reverse kidney failure without walking, you know, and so it's very important that we increase our activity and we can make plenty, progress. The number is 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. Let's go to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
This is Rick Barco calling from Germany, Doc.
Rick.
You made a mistake. You gave out the wrong number. The last number was wrong.
Yeah, it's three. It's three.
Oh, it's three. I'm sorry.
202-588-0893.
All right. Go ahead, Brother Rick. Thank you for correcting that.
I just want to add to your conversation by saying, if you're going to tell them about the bad diet and bad nutrition being a cause of disease, you got to tell them what a good diet is, what it means to enjoy a bowl of beans, rice, and vegetables, what kind of beans, what kind of rice, what kind of vegetables, and how do you spice it up to make it taste good?
All right.
That's
excellent, and we do that all the time. But and we've already mentioned that grains today, that grains and beans are very good to increase that GF21. So yes, I agree with you, my brother.
What kind of rice?
Whole grain. Black, brown, purple, you know, any of the whole grain rices.
Yeah. California grown or Pakistan grown, anywhere.
Vietnam also
is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Vietnam is also good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, my brother. Hope Pakistan is going well over there.
And any kind of beans.
The ones that you like are the best ones.
Yeah.
The ones you like are the ones you're going to eat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best bean out. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Dr. Watkins, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
This is one of your patients, Sherwin Mutes. How are you?
Hey, my brother.
Hey, so I heard, again, I guess I can emphasize the idea of the cleanse, but can you break down the difference between the fasting and the cleansing, because you're not consuming food during the cleanse, which could be 10 to 14 days, right, which is what you have me doing.
The fast is a type of cleansing program, you know.
Okay.
You can cleanse your body by eating certain foods, foods high in fiber, and so forth. That helps to cleanse the body. Drinking plenty of water helps to cleanse the body. Walking and sweating helps to cleanse the body. But fasting is, and there are different kinds of fasts. The fast that I generally recommend is what we call a modified juice and smoothie fast. But there are a number of fasts out there that you can use that are excellent to cleanse the body. All right?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now I was going to just ask, would you suggest just a water-type fast? And if it's water, how long? Would it, like, I've read people doing 36 hours or 30 days.
A water fast is a very good fast, but your question was excellent. How long? So what most experts suggest that if you are not an expert in water fasting, you should not try to do a water fast greater than 3 days.
And
the reason is because at 3 days, there's a change in metabolism. There's a change in acid-base balance, and you can get disruption in your electrolytes and you can get sick and you can actually even die.
That's
depending,
right.
Depending on your health. So, you know, I that's why I tend not to utilize water fast, although I've used it. I remember a lady came to me from Trinidad, and she had all kind of allergies, all right? I'm sorry, not allergies. She had pain for 8 years every day. And so I put her on a water fast. And in 3 days, she said, for the first time in 8 years, I'm without pain. I said, we can't just let you drink water for the rest of your life. And we started her back on food to discover what food she was allergic to. And it turns out it was chocolate and milk, Brother Frank. Chocolate and milk.
It was what? What was she allergic to?
Chocolate and milk.
Chocolate and milk.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which she was addicted to.
Yeah. She did very, very well. And she said, well, I'm going to go to New York to visit some relatives and friends, and then I'm going to come back and see you and then go back to Trinidad. I said, sounds like a plan. When she comes back, she said, Dr. Watkins, the pain came back. I said, what did you eat? She said, I stayed on my diet. I said, don't tell me that. Tell me what you ate. And when she started going down the list, Brother Frank, yogurt. I said,
There you go. But Dr. Watkins, what if the water fast, let's say, because these days all I drink is, like, it has a little baking soda, it has Himalayan sea salt, and there's lime juice or lime, actual lime in the water that I drink.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all the water that I drink. Could that be something that actually replaces or gives you more electrolyte that your body needs?
You can get electrolytes, but even that, you know, the baking soda, if you don't take it in the right amount, that can that can also affect your electrolytes because it makes you more alkaline, and it may make you more alkaline than you need to be. And so you need to and we won't try to take the time to do it today, but maybe one day we'll talk about water fast, because you need to be checking your urine, you need to be doing various things, check the pH. And blood work and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we would suggest. But thanks so much, brother.
All right. Take care. Thank
you. Keep up the good work. Thank you, my brother.
All
thank
right, you.
We're going to do our best. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. This caller, you're on the line.
Hello, Dr. Watkins?
Yes.
Thank you for your show. I love your show. I'm going to eat my beans for dinner tonight.
All right.
And I'm calling in because what you said about, like, companies and stuff who are telling us we need to eat more protein. And as a millennial, something I've noticed is that people in my generation were really susceptible to trends and fads. And right now, you know, all over social media, they're like, if someone who's my age, I'm about like 35, 40, excuse me, they're telling me I need to eat as much protein as I can, like 30 grams of protein per meal. It's just crazy. So
they're just trying to kill you.
Yeah. And it's just through trends and fads and social media influencers who, you know, we don't even know who they are, or, you know, maybe they're just trying to sell us a product or who knows, but thank you for your show.
They're definitely trying to sell you something. And we, for some reason, they've done an excellent job.
Yeah.
Because I would say 90% or more of Americans believe that you need a lot of protein. Dr. Colin Campbell, in his book, The China Study, he went to China. It was requested to go to China to study what was the leading factors associated with cancer. And he found out that one of the major factors was eating too much protein. But it also increased heart disease, hypertension, and many other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we need to really allow the right people to educate us, you know, because the ones that are getting rich over it, you know, that's not good.
And Cole, it's not just your generation. It's all generations. I mean, I'm 77, and if I listed the number of lives I brought, you know, it's we're sheep. We're sheep. People want to be trendy.
And you know, it's interesting. You know, I grew up. I mean, we were on welfare, aid to dependent children. You know, and so the government would give us food. Yep. What did they give us? Milk, cheese. Milk and cheese. All right. And so, unfortunately, even people who are supposed to know better and probably do know better, but are going along with the industry. And they also gave us eggs, you know, powdered eggs.
Peanut butter.
And they gave us peanut butter. Hard. You know, you could take a jar of peanut butter and defend yourself, man. I don't need a nightstick. I got a jar of peanut butter. Bust somebody right upside their head. Knock them out. 202-588-0893.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you so much. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, is that me?
Hello. You.
Thank you so much for. Yeah, it is me. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am 72. I'm going to put it out there.
All right. You're young.
I'm still here. And all I was diagnosed with kidney disease about 15 years ago. So I'm now in stage 4. My nephrologist just retired, and just before he retired, he basically told me not to eat anything. I can't eat mangoes. I can't eat avocados. I have to stop beans. And I don't do protein. I haven't eaten meat in a number of years. But my diet is so restricted now, I don't have fun eating anymore. And I also wanted to find out about what you were saying about walking, because I'm a slug. I'm not out there as often as I should be, but what is the magic ingredient about walking? That's my second question. How do you, you know, regulate your diet, and what is it that's so great about walking?
Well, walking does a number of things. One, first thing I'll say that it does, it has a tremendous effect on your brain. It increases endorphins, and so you get it helps you to relax, decreases depression, all right, changes your mood, all right. Then walking also increases circulation. Walking helps you to lose weight. All right. Walking helps to, as I said, with the kidneys. You know, I've never reversed kidney failure with anyone who didn't walk. So even in stage 4 kidney failure, if you do the right things, you can actually reverse your kidney failure. The first person that I ever treated a kidney failure was in stage 5. Kidney failure, and I didn't want to treat her. I said no, and she said no, Dr. Watkins, you must keep me off dialysis. And I said I'll only do it if the chief of renal at Howard will follow you with me. And so he asked me, what are you going to do, Ted? When I called him, I said I'm going to figure off all meat, all right? Because they told us in medical school that meat protein work the kidneys hard, all right?
Yes.
I'm going to put her on a diet of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, whole grains, seeds, nuts, give her activated charcoal, and walk her. He said, if you follow her closely, I'll follow with you. First, she went negative. Instead of 3.5 going down, she went 3.5 going up in creatinine. And that's it. We can always go down, so let's keep going. She comes back to 3.5, then 2.5, then 1.5, and 1. At 1, I sent her for a scan, complete perfusion of her kidneys. And so we know that kidney failure can be reversed. There are other things that I've learned since that time, but that was early on. And I tell people, I didn't read it in the book. God gave it to me, Brother Frank. You know?
Yeah, I follow that direction, yeah.
Yeah, it worked. Mm-hmm. And I've subsequently helped a number of other people. So you can reverse it. You know, one of the dangers, since we mentioned kidney failure, I'll say it. One of the dangers is that doctors generally don't tell patients when they're in early stage kidney failure.
Yep.
All right. Even the lab says that the reference interval for the glomerular filtration rate is greater than 59 or 60. But if you will Google that, you'll find that 60 to 89 is second stage kidney failure. All right? Second stage kidney failure. And yet we don't find out until oftentimes it's too late. So you can definitely do some things to one, if you're diabetic, get that diabetes under control, get your hypertension under control, lose that weight, and get on a good plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. Will you say something, Brother Frank?
Yeah, I say the exercise. You got to walk 90 minutes a day for the first 90 days.
That's right. 60 minutes
Woo. A day. After that,
oh my God.
You can do it. You can do it. Build up. You can do it.
Can I make an add-on question as well?
What did you say?
Just an add-on to this. You were talking about the water, the alkaline waters. I have a sister who, God bless her, she's trying to save my life, but she's always directed me to getting alkaline water. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know how it helps me, but she gets it for me. And
water that has a pH greater than 7. All right, 7 is neutral. And the body likes to be alkaline. So that part of it is true. All right. However, you don't have to buy alkaline water to get to that. I recommend distilled water. Why? The rain is distilled. What's in the plants and is distilled. Vegetation has distilled water. It's the purest water. When I was in chemistry, we only used distilled in the lab because it was pure. All right? Mm. It doesn't contain those hard minerals that you can get by drinking spring water. So I don't recommend that. But you can get your electrolytes, which the body needs, from the food substances.
Mm-hmm.
And get your body where you need to be. All right?
Got it. All right.
Thank you so much.
This is contact information at the end. Because if you're in stage 4, you need a doctor. You need a doctor to walk with you.
The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, good afternoon. I was so in awe about this topic being discussed that I had to pull over. I always listen to this radio station, and I'm just so impressed by the information provided. I like knowing new information on a daily basis. And I wanted to share information for everyone, not just our people. But there's a Zoom session that's going to be on November 12th at 8 p.m. And this is going to be with Sister Dr. Moore and Dr. Valentine, okay? And there's going to be an author present. This is a free attendance. And the passcode is wellness, and I have the Zoom ID if I can provide that.
Go ahead.
It's 861-2115-9520. Once again, it's health and wellness, especially during this season, especially for the children that are facing, you know, colds, things of that nature, things that are being spread around. We want to keep everyone safe, not just during this season, forever, to sustain everyone's health. Okay, the Zoom ID is 861-2115-9520, and that's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the passcode is wellness in all caps.
All right, please, thank you so much.
Attendance, yes. All right, so please tell everyone, and thank you so much for this conversation. Many blessings right, to you and everyone that's listening.
You have an outstanding day. You have an outstanding day. Brother Frank, look like we're going to have to come back on this one, man.
Yeah.
Because the number here is 202-588-0893, and we're going to have to go back to another caller. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I am enjoying your conversation. You're making lots of salient points. I'd like to the kidney disease, stage 4.
Yes.
PKD, would you comment on that? Because that's not...
Sister, kidney disease?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, if you could comment on that, and then... One other comment I make is I was similarly situated as a youth with regard to that diet in the PJs. What about that government cheese? Have a great day. have a great day.
All right, thank you. I think a lot of people can identify with that government cheese.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Bye bye.
You can hit somebody in the head with that too. all right. Polycystic kidney disease is depending on how advanced it is. I've not known it to be reversible, but what I recommend is people get on as good a diet as possible to try to slow down the progression of the polycystic kidney disease, you know, and so that's what I would recommend. Cysts in the kidneys are common, but polycystic kidney disease appears to be a genetic condition that's really present at birth, but can progress and basically knock out all the active kidney tissues, and so you go into failure because of that. So I would suggest that you do everything you can to be as healthy as possible.
Yes.
So that it doesn't progress. All right. All right. We're going to go back to our phones again. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Yes, sir. I'm listening to your show. I listen all the time. Now, let me start with this. My primary care physician, let's say 9 months, a year ago. No, it's been longer than that. He told me that I am low on vitamin B. I need to eat more red meat. Well, I will be 65 in February. And I don't know, I guess your taste changes as you get older. And I'm like, I just don't like it anymore. I'd rather eat sweet potatoes and spinach and kale, blah, 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 you know, stuff like that. Now, so I bought some steaks and some hamburger, and I don't like it anymore. I guess your body kind of tells you what you don't like. I eat chicken.
You're getting smarter as you get older. That's what's happening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I eat chicken, but I only fried chicken. You know, my
chicken,
and they have health problems. And I'm like, I don't think I
chicken is one of the worst meats that you can eat. All right, chicken is one of the worst meats that you can eat. And many studies it shows that it's actually worse than beef. But one of the problems is the reason your doctor told you what he told you is because he doesn't know nutrition. Because most doctors don't know nutrition. We weren't taught nutrition in school, all right? And what we were taught was taught by people funded by the meat and dairy industry.
Yes.
So therefore, sure, they choose that, the pharmaceuticals. I took a course in nutrition in medical school. The teacher was obese. She didn't know that there was a difference between whole grains and processed grain. And this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just blew my mind. I would look so much forward to that class, and it was a disaster. So you need to. There are ways to build up your B vitamins, you know, grains, is good. Sprouts are excellent, for the B vitamins. There are a number of things that you can do. So, you know, but eating meat will just clog your arteries up. Make you fat, make you acidic. It's just very bad, very, very bad.
Yes, sir. I've said to my doctor, and I've pretty much known him all my life. He's about 5 years older than me. And I said, well, what about the vegans? And he said, well, they have a low vitamin B. That's the right vitamin, right?
Yeah.
But, I'm like, okay, well, and you know what? I just went to the store. I'm legally blind. I've never had a driver's license in my life. I'll be 65 in February. And I had my daughter take me to the store today, and I bought a buttload of chicken. Okay, here's, all right.
I remember this epidemiologist, his name, oh boy, it'll come to me in a second. Anyway, he told me he studied all over the world, all right?
Yes,
and,
sir.
And he wasn't a vegetarian either, by the way. But he told me that chicken was the worst meat that you could eat. Now, I was a vegetarian, and I said, oh no, man, you're making a mistake. He said, go and Google it, Doc. Read for yourself. And when you read, you'll find out that there have been multiple studies to show how bad chicken is. So, you know, I hate to take it away from you. No, I don't hate to take it away. but chicken is not good for you. I used to love chicken, but I now hate it because I love me more than I love chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Let me two more things. Like I said to my position, I said, well, what about vegans? Because I was pretty much a vegan because of my tastes. Now, I heard you say that nuts are good for you.
Yes, in moderation.
All the nuts.
Okay. Well,
walnuts and almonds, especially.
How about all natural peanut butter? No sugar, no salt, nothing. Just all natural, because I love it. I can't live without it.
Yeah, that's good, but you have to be careful because it has a lot of fat. So you have to
a lot of fat.
You have to deal with the quantity that you eat.
And Valencia peanuts, they are the best because they don't have aflatoxins due to mold. So Valencia peanut butter in small amounts.
Yeah, I probably eat too much of it.
Yeah, don't.
All right, let me.
Back off.
I think we got one more caller on. Love Me, Frank.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Doc.
We good?
We're good.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and one of the last things I want to mention about this exercise is that in addition to the walking, the aerobic walking, jogging, swimming, that kind of thing, you also need to do some stretching, and you need to do some resistance training. You know, weights or push-ups. You know, resistance bands, those things is good. Sit less and walk more is what you want to do. All right, and you'll be very, very pleased. We're gonna have to take this up again on next week, Brother Frank, because the other major risk factors that are very, very, very important also, we just have not had a chance to get to. But we appreciate all your calls, your information, your questions, and we pray that you will have a very good day.
Yeah.
It's cold out there. It's going to be cold tonight.
Yeah.
Like me, you got to get your flowers in. Otherwise, they're going to freeze.
That's for sure. Thank you, Doc, for dreaming up this important topic. The five modifiable risk factors for disease prevention. Immense thanks to our engineers, Kalia Chapman, Mike Nasella, Mayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all of our tireless, hardworking WPFW staff, programmers, volunteers, and we thank our loyal listeners. Thank you, Maka B, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, it's To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for what you do. Listen in next week at 2 o'clock for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. You can listen in to the recording of this and other broadcasts by going to wpfwfm.org/archives.
Ital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, Ital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Mr. Prevention is better than cure, you can't rely on the system no more. Say all over the West, the health care in a mess, especially for the poor, that's for sure. Eat good, exercise and try your best. My visit the doctor less and less. In your own health, you have to invest. It's in the best of your interest, cause health is wealth. Ital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, Ital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, Ital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, Ital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else.
Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live. Listen to archive shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. It is day 41 of the government shutdown, and the Senate is moving forward with a plan to bring it to an end by Wednesday, according to one estimation. In a procedural vote over the weekend, senators advanced a House-passed bill that will be amended to fund the government until January 30th and include a package of three full-year appropriations bills. Eight Democrats joined with Republicans to advance this federal funding measure in exchange for a future vote on extending enhanced affordable care coverage. However, not all House Democrats agreed, and Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries vowed that House Democrats would continue to oppose the spending bill that advanced in the Senate this weekend because they say it will gut the health care of the American people. If the Senate eventually passes the amended measure, it still must be approved by the House of Representatives and be sent to President Trump for his signature, a process that could take several days. Two of the many things that have been impacted by the government shutdown are air traffic control and food assistance. Regarding air traffic controllers, as a result of being forced to work without pay, there have been 607 reports of short staffing since October 1st, with 146 staffing problems reported this past weekend alone. Also over the weekend, American Airlines reported nearly 1,400 flight cancellations due to short staffing. With regard to food assistance, the Trump administration returned to the Supreme Court today with the goal of continuing the freeze on SNAP benefits while the government is still shut down. SNAP is a program that helps 42 million Americans buy groceries. After judges ordered the Trump administration to use emergency funds to pay out SNAP benefits for this month, some states acted quickly to direct their EBT vendors to give out full monthly benefits to SNAP recipients. Some of those states are warning of catastrophic operational disruptions if the Trump administration does not reimburse them for the SNAP benefits they have already authorized. A legend in the world of basketball is being remembered today by those who knew him well. Lenny Wilkins, who is known as one of the NBA's 75 greatest players and 15 greatest coaches, passed away yesterday at age 88. A native of Brooklyn, New York, Wilkins was drafted into the NBA by the St. Louis Hawks in 1960, when the league only had eight teams. He went on to have a storied career as a nine-time All-Star, who had his jersey number, 19, retired by the Seattle Supersonics, and saw a statue built in his honor recently. Having overcome racial prejudice early in his career, Lenny Wilkins broke barriers by serving as a player coach in Seattle, becoming the league's second black coach after Bill Russell. Wilkins was inducted three times into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame as a player, a coach, and an assistant coach with the 1992 Dream Team at the Barcelona Olympics. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver remembered Lenny Wilkins as one of basketball's most respected ambassadors and an extraordinary mentor who led with integrity and true class. Lenny Wilkins is survived by his wife of 63 years, Marilyn, their three children, Leisha, Randy, and Jamie, and seven grandchildren. In the D.C. area, in recent days, it has been reported that D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser was being investigated for a 2023 trip that she made to the Middle East, to Qatar and Dubai, to be specific. However, U.S. Attorney for D.C. Jeanine Pirro confirmed that Mayor Bowser is not under investigation, nor is the target of any investigation. Pirro's clear statement is a departure from tradition because it's been a longstanding policy of the U.S. Attorney's Office to neither confirm or deny the existence of any investigation. Speaking on her 2023 trip that had been in question by some sources, Mayor Bowser said, and I quote, "It was a business trip, a publicly noted trip to promote Washington, D.C. and Qatar. That's what we did, and we don't have any bones about saying it," end quote. In today's weather, it's about 50 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.